And Rihanna in this song seems to put it all into focus because a few weeks ago there was a main spread in the New York Post, and I'll never forget looking at the headline. It said, "Kink Shrink Whips Marriages Into Shape with BDSM Couples Coaching."
By the way, I thought you were using a play on words when you said a big spread. But anyway.
Well, I did. On purpose.
I knew you did. I know you.
But I said, well, we got to find out more about this because in New York City, where more people go to shrinks, all kinds of shrinks, than anywhere else in the world, and acknowledge it. They come out, whereas in other parts of the country, they wouldn't want you to know what was going on with their mental health or their sexual health.
It's almost chic in New York to say, oh, well, is your shrink better than my shrink,
right,
kind of thing.
Right, but in this case, we have in studio, hopefully I'm pronouncing your name correctly, Leah Holmgren.
Yes, that's right.
Who originally was making a living as a full-fledged dominatrix, right?
That's right.
So where did you first perfect that craft? You know, where did you grow up? And what is it that motivated you to suddenly go out there and advertise publicly as a dominatrix who could service clients?
Well, it's a long story, but I will put it in short. I used to be a model, and back in the days in Hollywood, I was hired for a fetish shoot. And I experienced a sexual harassment in this shoot, and as I was dressed in this latex, having a whip with me, I realized that it's empowering and I can actually protect myself with the smack of a bullwhip. And that's when I realized that how much power is in this, in kind of fetish attire and the latex. And I protected myself from the creepy advances that were almost taken of me.
Were these at that point very powerful men in that field?
Yes, it was very, very powerful men in that field. And so that was when I started. And I said,
Why do you think it is, Leah, and this seems to be the norm, the guys who shout and yell and holler and bully in their professional and personal lives will suddenly seek out services like from someone from yourself in which they'll get tied up, you'll stick a ball gag in their mouth, they'll have a mask over their head, and they will completely submit to you and demand you to do things to them? You'd say, I can't believe this guy I grew up with is suggesting these things.
You know, it's like taking a vacation from making decisions. So oftentimes these alpha males, they're just so tired to giving commands all day long. They have submissive wives, they have kids, they need commands, they have employees, they're running huge companies, and they just want to come to me and say, hey, I need 2 hours to switch off my brain and let go. And that's why they come. Oftentimes.
Now, some of these things that they would ask that you do to them within the privacy of the arrangement you've made, if it were done outdoors or done publicly, you'd get arrested for that and get charged with assault and battery.
Well,
right?
Sure. Well, everything is done safe, sane, and consensual in the BDSM realm. If you do it just without the consent, then of course it could be a crime, yes.
Leah, I just want to point out how interested Curtis is with this topic. But anyway, let me go to my question. My question is, how often did Eric Schneiderman visit you?
I have to stay discreet.
Oh, that's not a no. Eric, did you hear that? That is not a
the
no.
The former state attorney general had to resign unexpectedly overnight for what was thought was not only sexually harassing and sexually assaulting girlfriends, but maybe actually hiring dominatrix and others to play with him, as he called it. He might have been one of your clients,
he
right?
He might have been.
Come on, fess up.
As I said, I have to stay discreet. That's like my first priority in my coaching and in my BDSM sessions.
Now, let me ask you in general terms, all right? So Eric Schneiderman visited you, okay, 20 times. We got that. But anyway, But how often is it somebody who you go, oh my goodness, to sort of Curtis's point that maybe it turns out not just to be an everyday person, but it turns out to be a face like an Eric Schneiderman or somebody that you see in public office. As an investigative journalist, I've done stories where people were part of sort of a porn ring, and then I'd have to see them out publicly, and I never said, okay, well, you know, we knew what you did two nights ago, and there they are, you know, taking the keys to the city, clapping, looking all official. How often do you see that?
It happened, but not as often as you would expect. But
well, that takes us to the area of average everyday men and women, a couple.
Yeah.
They've had normal sex, maybe sex they consider a little extravagant, eccentric from time to time, but all of a sudden they're married 5, 7 years. They have the 7-year itch.
Yes.
And they decide maybe we ought to go separate ways. We're only having sex maybe once, twice a month. And even then, it's a bit of an ordeal. We got to get all worked up, you know, mentally, physically. And apparently you then can enter the situation as an intimacy coach and spark up their life, at least their life in their boudoir. Are there couples who actually come to you and seek this kind of help?
Oh, yeah. I have many couples. They come to me and want me to help them, mostly with communication. Because the problem with couples is mostly that they don't communicate their desires and fantasies. And then, as you said, after 7 years of doing the same thing on and on and on in the same bedroom, you get tired, right? It's like watching the same movie on and on and on. And you might like the actors in the movie, but you just want to see them doing something else. And that's why I, first of all, help couples to communicate together and find out what they really like, if they have any certain fantasies and fetishes. To own them, do not be ashamed because of they have them, and talk to each other and understand.
Now, I have to ask the crazy question, but it has to be PG, sort of-ish, right?
Well, you can be PG. I don't have to be.
All right. You can be. I'll stay sort of PG. He'll be a little more R, right?
A little bit more risque.
Yes, a little more. What is the craziest thing in that someone has asked you, and are men or women more risque?
Usually men are the ones contacting me.
Yeah, they're the dirty ones, right? They're the dirty ones.
I don't
ones.
Know. Maybe they just are more initiative, and I think it has to do with the history that men are taking charge more, right? As they are grown, they're supposed to do it, kind of, right? That's how they are raised. So women might have dirty fantasies, but they are not initiating to have them in their life, or they're more scared. I feel like women are shy and much more shy and scared than
well,
men.
Well, how do you get them to cross over to that other side, to which at least they'll be open-minded to what you're suggesting and maybe their male partner is suggesting?
Well, first, they need to have trust between each other and communication. And once they trust each other and they feel like, okay, there's nothing you can surprise me with, there's nothing why I would judge you or not love you, then the other person feels more open to share.
Now, in some of these situations and scenarios, they're going to need tools and toys and ancillary devices.
I knew he was going to go there.
Do you, Leah Holmgren, then take them on a shopping soiree?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I will take them to one of the best fetish stores in New York, if that's happening in New York, and I will tell them, hey, you don't have to be worried. Nobody's going to bite you there. Just come with me. And I'll help them to choose from the toys there in the store. And
so you become their professional shopper.
Yeah, shopper. Exactly.
But now, once I have all these tools and ancillary items and we're back in the house, they've never used them probably, either of the couples. Do you actually then show them how
yes,
to use it?
I will. I will theoretically show them how to use it. I will use a little bit of practice, of course, in a dressed way. And I will teach them how to use those toys.
We is full throttle, Curtis.
Right? Some of them are
will you, once they actually get into the mood, what I call the urge to merge, and they've decided to take this route, they're going to try this new route, do they ever ask you to sit there to coach them through? Because you know they're going to have some setbacks.
You know, it depends on the couple and on how I would feel about it. It doesn't happen that often. I usually like to leave when they really get into the heat.
Hmm. Now, let me ask you, has it ever gone the other way? And everybody, we're talking to Leah Holmgren, intimacy coach, dominatrix, a woman who knows her whips, right? But has anyone ever said, you know what, I actually thought it was going to be fun, and now has it ever, like, have there been a few where it actually maybe ruined the relationship because they thought, okay, in a fantasy, this person's going to be this amazing person, or they're going to look good in a nanny skirt or whatever it is, and then suddenly they come out and go, oh, it's not what I thought it was.
It happens. It's like, you know, you have a checklist of things you want to try, and you might want to have a dish you want to try. You try it, and you don't want to eat it anymore. So that happens, of course.
All right, but dominant submission, let's go back to how you first got into this field, does not always end up meaning that people have sex, right?
That's right.
Does that also include couples who could actually go to this extent, have you as their intimacy coach, go out, get all the tools, the ancillary devices, and yet it doesn't necessarily result in what we think of as climax or sexual satisfaction, but the satisfaction of being the dominant one versus the one who is submissive.
Sure, it's all the fantasy you have in your head, and sometimes it requires penetration and sometimes it doesn't, but it's satisfying and it's something else. It's like new exploration that makes your relationship more juicier and more fun after 7 years, right?
Well, we have someone on the line. We haven't even given the phone numbers out. Let's see what Alex has to say in Queens. Welcome to Curtis, Rita Cosby, and Leah Holmgren, the original dominatrix who is now an intimacy coach here. Alex?
Hi, Alex.
Hey, how you guys doing? Alex. Everything good? Okay. Now, I just have a comment. Like, you know, all of this sounds great to spark up a relationship, but there's other things you got to put in perspective. Like, I got 3 kids, the oldest being 12. And, you know, and so you don't have the time to do all of this. Your work schedule sometimes doesn't match. You're tired. Financial problems get in the way. I mean, you know, Curtis, you've had how many divorces? All of this plays in a role when you're going to get intimate with somebody. You know what I'm saying?
No, he brings up a perfect choice. Yeah. You know, it's not the ultimate situation. You have kids. They're living in your home. You have all these other pressures. It definitely interferes with when you were younger and you were wild and free, footloose, wild and free. What do you do in that situation? How could you help, let's say, a guy like Alex?
Yeah, Alex. So many people have this question actually coming to me. And my answer to this is, look, there are weekends. I understand through the week you might be tired. Over the weekend, put your kids to your parents or bring them to your parents or hire a nanny for a couple of hours and relax, spend time with your partner and play, because I think that nanny is cheaper than divorce attorney. So
damn right.
That's for sure.
Well, got that, Alex? Nannies are cheaper than divorce attorneys.
No, absolutely. I understand totally what she's saying, but the work schedule doesn't match. Like, I'm off right now. I go in at 4 o'clock. My wife comes home. So I'm leaving. I'm leaving the house when she comes in. Mm. So, you know, and then she's off on the weekend. I'm off.
Hard to find that quality time is what he's saying.
Yeah, we call that the hot rack. That means you're sleeping in the bed, and just as you're getting up ready to go to your job, your wife is returning from her job, and you almost never see one another during the week. And then on the weekend, you're trying to catch up on lost hours of sleep, so you're, like, miserable.
You got to make appointment time is what you're saying, essentially, right?
And,
like,
you know,
make it.
I think also communication with your boss, you know, just tell me, hey, I really need to catch up on my family time, because if I'm miserable, I'm not going to be performing that well in work and take 2-3 hours off or get off of work earlier.
What if I said to my boss, I got to take time off, I haven't had a whip or S&M lately? Would you think that would work? What do you think? Would our boss let us off, Curtis, if we said we need quality time with our significant others?
People do get time off for mental health issues. This is a form of mental health. It's sexual health.
Yeah.
Do you think somebody's insurance policy could cover this, the cost?
I am worried that not, because insurance policies in the United States don't cover things that are much more important. So I don't think that would go through.
One day it will.
I have learned a lot. Leah Holmgren, I want to tell you I have learned a lot. I'm redder than Curtis is. I've blushed a little bit through this. But we thank you so much for coming. It's so fascinating.
Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you for not bringing all your toys, your tools, your weapons, because you would never have gotten through security downstairs.
It's an interesting profession. Thank you for being here. We'll be right back, everybody.
Thank you.